Earth, sky.
There's no doubt that the world will need all energies from all sources. Fossil fuels, nuclear, wind, solar, hydro, biofuels. We need them all to satisfy the rising global energy demand.
You're listening to Gerard Schatman, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science with a special program in partnership with Shell. Schatman is Chief Technology Officer for Shell, and he spoke with Earth Sky about the role of natural gas in his company's future. He said natural gas plays to Shell's strengths, and he said 50% or more of Shell's production would be from natural gas by 2012. He also said it's very important to consider that gas is not only the quickest, but probably also the cheapest way to cut CO2 emissions from global energy production. Here's Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar speaking with Gerard Schatman.
Welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thanks very much. Looking forward to the interview.
Now, you're Shell's Chief Technology Officer. What does your role involve?
So I'm the Executive Vice President for Research and Development in Shell. I combine that role with being the Chief Technology Officer in Shell. And in that role, I oversee all the technology development which Shell does, particularly related to energy technology solutions.
What are the critical factors that drive innovation and technology in the energy sector?
I would say there are two factors. One is related to future customer demands, and the other one is about how we do technology development. As far as future customer demands is concerned, our global population continues to rise. The expectations are that by 2050, we'll have 3 billion more people in the world. Also, the demand for energy will continue to rise significantly, maybe doubling in 2050. And I think the essence to understand there is that probably 70% of that energy is still very much related to fossil fuels, nuclear, and 30% is related to a whole other mix, which we all usually call renewables. So renewables is interesting, oil and gas is interesting, an indispensable part of the total mix, and we need to respond to that drastic rise in demand. And the other part is related to the how. In light of this, we need to constantly drive for new fit-for-purpose technology solutions which address that mix. We need to work with a lot of others to come up with the right answers, specifically when we start talking about such a big energy challenge.
One of the big energy challenges that the world faces is with CO2. Shouldn't research and development be more focused on renewable energies, on cleaner energy?
There's no doubt that the world will need all energies from all sources. Fossil fuels, nuclear, wind, solar, hydro, biofuels. We need them all to satisfy the rising global energy demand. For renewables, it's clear that the role will increase, and we're part of that. So the pursuit for cleaner energy must be multifaceted, and it must be quick, because there's a lot to do. What we do in Shell is we drive both renewable energy technologies, for example biofuels, but also hydrocarbon technology. And the latter is particularly critical to deliver cleaner energy and to do so quickly. In this context, natural gas plays a very specific role in Shell. It's the cleanest burning fossil fuel, and it plays to our strengths. Shell becomes a gas company more than an oil company. In a couple of years, I think we'll produce 50% or more of our production from natural gas. So around gas, it's very important to consider that the gas is not only the quickest, but probably also the cheapest way to cut CO2 emissions from the global power sector. Impressively, modern so-called combined cycle gas plants emit about half the CO2 of modern coal plants. And if you take old coal plants rather than these supercritical modern ones, it's 70% of CO2 reduction you're talking about. And most importantly, there is a lot of gas which can supply this need.
Yeah, I guess in thinking about this demand for natural gas, how do people get the natural gas they need?
For natural gas, you have three options to bring the natural gas to the markets and to the customers that need them. First one is, I think, the most known one. It's the one where we process and transport gas through pipelines. The second one is where we convert gas into liquids. These gas-to-liquids programs, and we're working on a project in Qatar to do that, really make out of gas directly all kinds of products which can be used in the transport sector. And then the third one, and I think it's historically has become a very important one, is to chill the gas. You chill the gas to minus 160 degrees Celsius, and it becomes liquid. This process we call liquefaction, and the product is liquefied natural gas, shorter LNG. Now, LNG is a very interesting phenomenon because it takes significantly less space than gas takes in its original state. Just to illustrate the point, liquefaction brings a beach ball full of gas down to a volume which is the size of a table tennis ball. And that much reduced volume, of course, makes it possible and efficient to transport gas through big carriers, LNG carriers, to all the gas markets in the world. Now, upon arrival, upon destination, the liquid gas is turned back into the gas estate to refuel the power utility industry and the household applications that call for that gas.
I'd like to get your thoughts on what you think will make a real difference and drive innovation in meeting demand for natural gas.
Yeah, of course, we have a history of technology first already in this area. Speaking about LNG, normally the gas is liquefied in a large onshore plant. And the hydrocarbons are located, unfortunately these days, more and more into physically difficult locations, remote locations, where it's not so easy to build these onshore plants. You can think about offshore, you can think about very deep water locations. So we need to constantly find and develop new technology solutions that make it possible to also unlock these difficult but very critical resources. So as a response, Shell is developing floating LNG solutions, floating liquefaction solutions, and we call them FLNG. With FLNG, gas will be recovered from the offshore well, treated, liquefied, and transferred to the LNG carrier, which then brings the gas in liquefied form to wherever it needs to take. And all of this process will now happen offshore. Hence, we don't need any longer these expensive offshore pipeline structures.
So what are the key technology challenges in floating liquefied natural gas?
Well, a couple of elements around it. Building a floating LNG facility is a huge technological and engineering undertaking. Technological because you talk about interaction between waves and currents and a process like LNG, which has to be a stable process. It's also a significant engineering challenge. We're speaking of enormous facilities. I mean, we talk about 480 meters long, about 75 meters wide, and a weight of about 600,000 tons when it's fully ballasted. So these are enormous factories on the water. The facility would be the largest floating structure in the world today, and it's designed to withstand what we call mid-ocean conditions. So it's designed to handle cyclones and all the waves, currents and winds, which come with these type of circumstances. And that's particularly relevant for instance, the Browse Basin, which we have in the Western Australia offshore, where we're planning the first site, the first application of FLNG for Shell. The FLNG facility will be located above the field, from which the gas is extracted, making additional pipelines and upstream facilities unnecessary. Now, when the FLNG facility is operational in this decade, and that's what we are planning for, it will be the result of many years of work by scores of engineers, scientists and designers. This is really a true example of integration of many different disciplines and many people coming from different backgrounds.
You've been listening to Gerard Schottmann, Chief Technology Officer for Shell. Our thanks today to Shell, encouraging dialogue on the energy challenge. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.